Moving along with Aseres Yemei Tshuva, so discuss a little bit the concept of Kaparis. Now, Kaparis is a very old minig. Some people question it, some people fight it, some people in Halacha say it shouldn't be done. Some people today, Peter says it shouldn't be done. There are certain Jews that don't think Jews should do anything Jewish, especially with Kaparis and things like that. But it is brought down in Halacha, and the minig, especially according to Kabbalah, is definitely to do the concept of Kaparis. Now, many people were against it because it was Darkei HaMeiri. It was a thing that the Goyim used to do in a religious way. And therefore they said it's not Kedai for Jews to do it. But like we said, according to Halacha and Kabbalah, it says it should be done. What Al-Drebbe brings down, another post can bring down in Halacha, is that to look Dafke for white birds versus if it's, you know, different color, but if it's darker or whatever it is, that you shouldn't do because that's Darkei HaMeiri. Okay? So the concept of Kaparis is, in fact, many Mefarshim learn it similar to the concept of the Seir HaMishtaleach La'Azazel, that the goat that was sent away to Azazel is thrown off the cliff, and the thread on it turned from red to white if the Jews were forgiven. And we see in the Torah the concept is, by the goat dying, it's considered, in other words, in a certain respect, that if the Jews sinned, they should die, but the goat is dying instead of them, and therefore they go to a long life. In fact, in the Kaparis we say, Zah Tarnagol Yelech Lemisa, this Tarnagol should go to death, and Yelech L'chaim Tev Maruchim Mashalom. So therefore the minig is early in the morning, and I'm sure by everybody early in the morning has different meanings. Some people 6, some people 7, some people 12, some people 3 in the afternoon. But early in the morning is the time when Kaparis needs to be done. So a male takes a rooster, a male chicken, and a female takes a female chicken. What's the story if a woman is pregnant? So if a woman is pregnant, it's brought down in Halacha, she should take either 2 birds or 3 birds. Because there's another argument in Halacha, if one bird could be good for a few people. In other words, can you have one rooster for 5 men? Or does each man need their own particular rooster? There's 2 opinions in Halacha. So in places, Taka, where there are no chickens, you know, there's no way out, so then you Taka take 1 chicken for a whole community, and many times they had to do it because they had no choice. But today the minig is that every person takes their own kapara. In fact, it screams, Halacha screams at those merchants that, you know, it's, when it comes to money, you don't trust anybody, even religious Jews. That's what it says in Halacha. And therefore, many times, people would reuse the chicken. You know, they would sell it to somebody for kaparis, and then put it back and sell it to somebody else for kaparis. And they said, besides the fact that it's geneva, and genevas die, I mean, it's a whole bunch of sins that people shouldn't be doing out of Yom Kippur. So the question, what does a pregnant woman do? So many boss can write, if it's less than 40 days into the pregnancy, she doesn't have to do anything. After 40 days, the minig is, according to Kabbalah, she should take 3 birds. 2 female and 1 male. Why? If the baby's a girl, then 1 for her and 1 for the girl. If it's a boy, it's a boy. So then you do it. So now the interesting question is, what happens nowadays? People already know what they're having, and you know, with the sonograms and ultrasounds, people know they're having a boy or a girl. Or there's a letter from the Rebbe, somebody asks, what happens if somebody's having twins? Okay, if you're having twins, you need to take 5. Because it might be 2 boys, it might be 2 girls, and the mother herself. If she's having triplets, she would have to take 7. Okay, but Lepreel, the Rebbe writes, because twins are not common, so Lepreel, you could take just 3 birds. Okay, 1 for the woman, 2 for the kids.
It doesn't matter if you already know the gender.
That's what I'm saying. If you know the even if you know the gender, you still take. The minig is to take 2, because by the way, a lot of times they're wrong. It happened already many times. The doctor said somebody was having a boy, and they had a girl. Or they said they're having a girl, and they had a boy. It happens. I always mentioned there was a guy who used to come here every so often to shul. His wife was pregnant. The doctor told them they're having a girl. They redecorated the whole room in pink. Everything bought and washed pink. You know, and then, guess what? She had a boy. It's a Nebuch. They had to redo the whole room. It was a... Bechlau, there's a minig, parenthetically, that you don't buy things for a baby before it's born. But the Devel doesn't do that. So they bought everything pink and everything. The whole bed was pink and the room, the paint was pink and the wallpaper, everything was pink. And then she had a boy. So the Devel, the minig is to do it like that. To take... Unless if you tell them. No, if you tell them that it was already used, then there's not a problem. Then they know what they're getting.
And a man could use the bird that we use for other men.
If there's no choice.
There's no other bird.
Yeah, but then you have to ask two people. Let's say you come to Kaparis and there's no more birds left. Okay, they were all sold out. But they didn't shecht all the animals yet. They didn't shecht all the birds. So you need to ask the one that shlugged the kaparis, if he gives you permission. The seller just can't tell you it's already a shlug and a kaparis, it was already used, and therefore if you ask him to buy it, maybe the one whose kaparis it was doesn't want anybody else to be in his bird. Hello?
Is there an obligation to sell the bird if somebody asks you for it?
No, you don't have to. If you feel that you want your own kaparis, it depends how much you sin, really. If you sin a lot, you need a big bird. You need a little bird. You need to ask the person. I'm not saying he should or shouldn't, but that's his decision. But you can't sell a bird that I used already. Maybe I don't want somebody to use my bird. Okay? Huh? Not piggle. It's my bird. I bought the bird. I don't want... If somebody buys an aliyah, yeah? Somebody buys chosin teira, yeah? Can you force him that you should join him? Huh? Well, you know, listen, you bought it anyway. What's the difference? I'm just standing there. I mean, the guy bought it, he wants it. He doesn't want you to have it. If he wants you to have it, you should buy it. What? Because that's when the attribute of chesed is revealed, and that's the whole thing in Kaparis, is to bring down chesed, kindness from Hashem. Now, there's an interesting thing that a lot of people aren't aware of. I mentioned this every year. The main part of kaparis, for the record, is a shechita. The shechting is the main thing. And therefore the halacha is, you should really stand by the shechita, number one. It's proper to stand there when they're shechting the animal. And then you also get a mitzvah of covering the blood of the bird, because there's a mitzvah, kisei adam. If you slaughter a bird or a beast, not a domestic animal, like when you shecht a cow, there's no mitzvah to covering the blood. The mitzvah of covering the blood, kisidam, is if you shecht a bird or a beast, like a deer is a kosher animal. If you shecht a deer, then you need to do kisidam. So it says it's a mitzvah that you do rarely. So it's a good opportunity, Yom Kippur, to do another mitzvah. But it says in halach, Kabbalah, more than halacha, that you should be present at the time of the shechita. Therefore, the halacha is like this. What happens if the sheikh made a mistake in the shechita? And the shechita wasn't a kosher shechita, you need to redo kaparis. What happens though, if the shechita was a good shechita, and then they opened up the bird, they found something wrong inside, that the bird is not a kosher bird, there's a breakage or something, whatever it was, so then you don't have to redo kaparis. But if the shechita wasn't good, the only shaila is, who has to pay for the next bird?
Somebody doesn't want to do it. Can you have them in mind with yours, or should you choose one for them and do it for them?
A lot of people have a minig that they do it with money instead. You know, they do it, this money should go to tzedakah, and I should go to have a good life. Some people would do it with fish. This fish should go to death, and whatever it is. Does the chicken need to be alive?
Yes.
So why shouldn't... If you do it with fish, it has to be a live fish. How can you have a dead fish for kaparis?
If the purpose of killing the chicken is like the chicken's life instead of yours, like so why does it make a difference if it's a kosher shechita or not?
Because it says in Kabbalah that the main kaparis is the shechting of the animal. In other words, Tazozo, they didn't shecht, they threw it off the cliff and died.
Right.
But here, the shechita is the kapara. The fact that the animal was shechted and elevated, whatever it is. Here it says dogim chayim, by the way. It needs to be alive. You know, forget, the money is not brought down in the Rishonim. Fish is brought down in the halacha earlier. But there's a bit of peril. A lot of people today use it with money or with fish. But according to Kabbalah, the proper thing is to do it Erev Yom Kippur with chickens. Now, what happens if somebody finds it difficult to do it at Erev Yom Kippur? You know, it's a busy day getting kids up early, whatever. So you can do it anytime Aseres Yemei Tshuva. The preferred time is Erev Yom Kippur, which is Yom Kippur is Thursday, will be Wednesday, the day before Yom Kippur. And otherwise, you could do it Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Huh?
It's so busy in the morning. They check the shechita to make sure that it's okay.
Sure, the shechit checks the shechita.
Okay.
Well, he's not going to tell you if it's okay. He's going to tell you if it's not okay. Yeah. Yeah, but this shechita is slow. You go to the plants. Yeah, you know how many birds they shecht an hour? Each shechit? How many do you think? No, here in America. You'll never believe how many you shecht an hour.
That's
almost 1 second. Huh? One shechit an hour. The shecht an hour rests an hour. There are shechtim that were able to do 3,000 an hour, 3,600 an hour. Yeah, the guy holds the cheek. The guy just goes like this. Yeah, the shecht. That's a fast shechita. But to this...
I thought in between maybe 10 or
maybe
you got to check the knife.
Yeah, so they have different knives to check.
Well, when we did the chicken, the chicken almost died and you closed the eyes and you know the chicken knife on the ground.
If the chicken dies before you bring it to the sheikhet.
No,
by the way, it's probably not 3,600. It's much less, but it's still a tremendous amount an hour. It was, I'm coming back at 3,600 is much more. It was 1,200, 1,500 an hour. No, it was 1,200, 1,500 an hour. Yeah. Each shaykhit.
That's 3 chickens a second.
No.
One
chicken every 3 seconds, right. Right, it was 1,200, I'm sorry, not 3,600. It was 1,200, and some of the fastest shochet did 1,400 an hour. No, but you understand the way it's set up, that all the shechet, when you bring a chicken by kaparis, the shechet takes the chicken, okay, and pulls down the neck, and has to rip off the feathers, you know, and then shecht. That was all done by goyim holding it. They just go like this. I mean, your hand gets tired after a while, but that's what they do. You need shechitas to be a double motion. In fact, we're learning this in Rambam now. You can't just take a knife and go, tach. It's like you cut a piece of cheese, tach. And you can't, it's not a kosher shechita. You have to go back and forth. No, it's possible. I spoke to Shachtim. It's not something outrageous.
So how do they check out?
They checked every so often. They checked the knife. By kaparis for sure, it's slow motion. It says really the sheikh. It does bring down in poskim that you should ask the sheikh. But the fact is, the sheikh automatically lets. You don't have to ask each individual. Officially, the mitzvah of kisidam belongs to the sheikh. There's an interesting thing. There's a tesis in Bava Kamma, and it's brought down in Halacha. If I steal a mitzvah from you, there's a monetary damage that you have to pay if you steal a mitzvah from somebody. Let's say this, the Sheikhet Shechs, the Sheikhet has the mitzvah covering the blood, right? What happened if somebody else went to cover the blood first? So what he did was he took the mitzvah away from the Sheikhet. So I don't remember what it is, but there's an amount that you have to pay if you steal somebody's mitzvah.